listening to the Nerds Assemble podcast.
Of the Nerds Assemble podcast. I'm Emily.
I'm Paul.
I'm Paul, aka Retroid.
We are down a cookie this week, but it's okay. We're actually, you know, most of us are alive this week, which wasn't quite the case last week, which is why we're an episode behind. Having had a discussion before what we're going to do for this episode, we are going to be talking about Gaming Mojo. For which, Retroid, could you offer perhaps a explanation before we go into more detail?
Well, other than, oh no, I've lost my mojo.
Other than Austin Powers, yeah. Other than Austin Powers.
It's pretty much that stage that I think pretty much everyone I've talked to has reached, where they start to worry, hang on, am I going off gaming? And it's not really that. It's just that at the moment, you know, in the gamers market, there are certain styles at play and certain big games coming out, and you know, they don't tickle your fancy.
Yeah. So,
but you worry that, hang on, none of these appeal to me. They should. Is it me? It's like, no, it's them. All you need is the right game to come along.
That's true. For me,
meantime, what ends up happening is that I'll probably go back and replay something that I've replayed several times before.
I don't want to talk about the fact that I've restarted Skyrim. I've restarted Skyrim again.
Again, is that again or again again or again again again?
I think if we consider it to be more than 20 characters. And remember that I'm probably now topping more like 600 plus hours across various versions. It's just
like it.
Last week was a bit tough for us, and I was just kind of like, I'm just gonna. I restarted.
It was a bit tough for us?
Remember? I'm not going into detail. We had some personal stuff happen. Well, I say we lost a friend. And I was just like, it's kind of like comfort gaming, because I've got loads of new games I could play. Like, I have spent money on new games, but I don't trust them. I don't trust them enough with my emotional well-being and enjoyment to take a punt on them when I need something to do to distract myself.
Sometimes you need some comfort gaming. So just to go back to a classic, you know exactly where you are, you know exactly what to do. And it's just like, you know, kind of allows you to kind of play but think.
That I would like to point out that I didn't realise that the Switch version decides to up, like, it seems to be the default difficulty is Adept. And I didn't realise that when I started a new game. And then I finally had, like, I know, like, my first dragon fight outside of the, what was it, Whiterun Watchtower one that happens. And I was like, why is this really fucking hard? What the hell is going on? And it turns out that I'd been playing up to about level 7 or 8 or something with it on Adept difficulty. I normally play it maybe novice or apprentice, so I was just like, holy fudge, no wonder this is hell. So then I was like, that's why this isn't feeling as comforting as it could be. Knock down the difficulty level. It was just not worth it. Just no.
Yeah, that is something else I discovered, because I like difficult games. I like having a challenge, but sometimes you just want to immerse yourself.
And feel like a badass.
Know, yeah. And that's not like just, you know, waltz through everything as you're doing it, but just be able to do it and then just, you know, get that little kick from doing things. And
No. But
unless they want to sponsor us.
Well, yeah.
I don't think we're controversial.
I'm not sure we're right for a sporting
Well, I know that Nike isn't a sponsor for ice hockey, but they're not in charge of like kit for ice hockey. So, like the one sport that between. I don't know. Does Cookie like football?
What, like American football or British?
Regular football. British football. Well, I say British football. Soccer.
I don't think so. It's not really come up.
So I'm the only one that likes any sport.
What are you trying to say?
No, that's fine. And remember, it's only a newish thing for me. It's only been growing since 2012 in terms of me liking it. Yeah, Nike, no. Not a kit people ever, I think, for NHL. Reebok or Adidas, but not Nike. Sorry, tangent. Gaming Emma, major.
You know we don't do tangents here.
Tangents, what are those?
I mean, I think losing the gaming mojo is also sometimes a sign of, you know, depression.
Mm.
And whatnot. So
yeah, that can be it. Yeah,
it's like losing interest in activities that would ordinarily kind of
bring you joy.
Yeah, bring you joy and reinvigorate you. And not gaming can sometimes be like a bit of a warning sign, especially for me. So I've always kind of grown up with video games, and you know, obviously I enjoy them quite a bit. And you know, there was a period of time where I'd be like semi-excited for, you know, new games coming out, and then I'd buy them and then like play them for like an afternoon and then like put them down and not pick them up like ever again. And sometimes it's not the games themselves, sometimes it's depression.
Yeah, if something doesn't click there, I've had a few games where they've been, you know, massively trilled and massive, oh, you'll love this, and I've sat down and the first few hours maybe just have made zero impression. Two which come to mind are GoldenEye on the N64 and the original Halo when I first played it. They both just left me cold. And then I went back to them, you know, a few days later, and it was suddenly, oh, these are ace. So, yeah, sometimes, I don't know, maybe it's a frame of mind. You just you're not into it.
I know Bayonetta is another one that we need to get back into. Because we've got it on both Wii U and Switch.
I know, but like Bayonetta is like a weird one for me as well, though, because like, I reviewed the original Umbra, a very comprehensive walkthrough that I got paid for. Back on launch, I played it at a pretty high level, but when I've tried to get back to it on Switch, it's been like, okay, cool, but the thing is, even though I can't quite fully remember the story, it's really hard for me to get back into it, even though I've previously loved games like that, because I love at least the first three games of Devil May Cry, and actually I liked DMC. By Thingamabob as well.
Devil May Cry 4, not so much.
I hate Devil May Cry 4. I am not at all excited for Devil May Cry 5 because it's got fucking Nero back, for Christ's sake. I feel sorry for, is it Chris McKirk? Games Journal, who mistakenly identified Nero as not Nero in like a thing earlier this year when like 5 got announced, and he's been every so often he kind of gets trolled for it. In fact, the PR for Capcom over here started trolling him over it as well. So you know,
well, he's getting attention, I suppose.
Well, yeah,
but
he's getting attention, but at the same time, it's like that. Except for the hair colours, they do almost look similar, and also like Nero looks a bit like, I can't remember who's the character's name in DMC, but it looks a bit like him, even though he existed before him. But he's nowhere as cool as him. But also he doesn't look like Dante. And it's just, yeah, it's like that. It's like that.
My cry is, I don't care.
Yeah. I think part of the issue for me is that a couple of franchises that I liked went on to have iterations that, in the last gen, that really sort of, like, broke my trust for developers to continue with stuff in ways, or not necessarily developers, but publishers perhaps even, to continue with stuff in ways that I would want to interact with. So like Dead Space 3 and Mass Effect 3 are like big moments of that, because I haven't even touched Andromeda.
Considering how many I bought every single copy of Mass Effect for 360, I have is a collector's edition.
Mm.
You know, with the the big boxes and the pack-ins and such.
Yeah.
I even bought Mass Effect 2 because I saw it for a fiver for PS3, so I bought it on there and played it through. I then bought them, rebought them on PC so I can, have them on PC in a super res. And then Andromeda, I don't own a copy.
Yeah, And the thing is, though, is that then when I was initially a bit excited, but then my excitement tailed off pretty quickly. And then when it finally was released and reviews happened, I mean, as we know, it went on to be very poorly received. And EA ended up reevaluating how it was going to handle this IP. It's not a great sign.
Which is a shame, because the Mass Effect IP itself is actually, quite rich.
Well, because BioWare did a damn bloody good job originally. But of course, all the people that pretty much that were critical for its success originally are gone now.
That's always the way to kind of kill a franchise, unfortunately.
And EA do not seem to learn from this. They've been doing that since the 90s.
But Gaming Mojo, guys. How does this affect Gaming Mojo? I think one thing for me is that it feels like there are too many games coming out. So I almost at times feel overwhelmed by the amount of games coming out. And I kind of get, executive decision kind of like, I have got some cash spare that I could perhaps put towards a game this month, but I can't contemplate what I'm going to play. There's just too many different things to choose from that could potentially be okay, but still all have a high risk of sucking, at least for me.
Yeah.
Because sorry.
No, go on.
I was going to say, even though I could check out reviews and stuff, what a lot of reviews look for in games, I know from having done game reviewing, it can be different to what I look for in games, because I'm such a story-focused player. Graphics could be a bit shoddy, but, or completely stylistic. Mm. And I'll be quite happy, and as long as the mechanics work, I'm usually pretty happy. But if the story's not there, unless it's like the latest NHL, which I really want, I'm just not there. I'm just
I mean, when we were running the Hex Dimension website, the reviews were more kind of like a thumbs up, thumbs down type thing, and it was kind of more based on the game at its target audience rather than, whether I like the game or not, as it were.
I shouldn't review FIFA?
You should not review FIFA, because I don't think you'd give it a fair score based upon its genre.
It's shit, it's full of football.
Yeah, but presumably the people that are likely to play it are people that like playing football games.
Well, exactly, and that's why I've always liked the idea of, different reviewers for different things.
Exactly, yeah.
I still remember the one time I had to review some kids' games back in the day for Beef Jack, and a certain person who I'm friends with now, but he got annoyed with me that I went and sought opinion from my younger brothers, even though they were the target audience, because I could not fully judge this game. The mechanics worked for one of the games, but otherwise, I'm like, is this fun? I can't tell. To me, it's a load of boring tosh, but, I'm not under 10. Mm.
That's a fairly important part of it, isn't it?
Yeah, if you're not the target audience and you're trying to review anything, it's like, oh, God, what was that bloody review? Who was it? Who did? Was it a New Yorker review for Infinity War?
Oh, that's the one that I got a massively viral tweet from for taking the piss, and it was just, why is everyone, oh god, I'm just gonna have to turn off my notifications for the long weekend.
But wasn't it the fact that the reviewer was like, they weren't the target audience for the film, and they reviewed it, and it was just like, well...
It's like that, well, they were just trying to be edgy.
Well, well no, because they, were saying, from, well, they were from serious publications, so it's not going to be edgy.
No, fair enough.
Sorry, Retro.
Of course it fucking doesn't. Because I you know, if, you know, if, you know, people listening have not seen, you know, what I said, which seemed to strike a chord. It was, you know, turn to page, you know, 200 of, you know, Wuthering Heights. Yeah, what are these characters doing? I don't know. You know, last 12 minutes of, you know, a, like, you know, a big multi-part miniseries, you know, with an involved plot. I don't know who these people are or why they're doing that or why that person's dead. Well, of course you don't, because it's not for you.
Yeah, I mean...
It's for the people who have been watching the other ones.
It would be like people back in, I don't know, Victorian era, just kind of being like, oh, I'm gonna try reading this story that's like freaking knows how many magazine issues in, because obviously they used to serialize stories. Like, all Dickens pretty much was serialized in, like, Dumas in France and stuff, and it's just like, oh, I'm gonna, like, Dumas was like, considering how he mostly wrote stuff that ended up being longer than Dickens' work, it was just like, oh, you know, I'm gonna start the Three Musketeers, like, 10 issues in or something. Yeah, that's gonna go well.
See, I could understand it with the comics to a certain extent, you know, if you kind of ignore the reboots and whatnot, because, you know, the comics have been going for so long that it's unrealistic for people to have kind of been, you know, kind of paying attention since issue one of the first ever appearance of a comic book character. But
yeah,
this is films we're talking about. This is basically a legacy of, what, 10 years? And yeah, I know it's kind of done a lot in 10 years, but by the same token, it's still only been 10 years. It's not been like 50, like, you know.
Yeah, and I suppose if you'd watched just maybe Iron Man, at least one of the Thor, well, you definitely need to see Ragnarok. Mm. And who else? Civil War and that. Like, you didn't have to watch the Ant-Man necessarily, you know, or unfortunately Black Panther, even though it's good. You could have got a lot of it, but at the same time, yeah, it was kind of wandering out. But it's another tangent. Gaming Mojo.
I will just unhelpfully, you know, add to that thing that with comics, they're not going to end up on TV if you're just sitting down and flicking, you know, through the channels.
Mm.
The comic is not going to be on the television, but there's a damn good chance that with these films being successful, they're going to end up on there.
Mm.
And you're going to have caught at least some of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, Gaming Mojo.
So we've said, potentially, if you're not into stuff, it could be a sign of depression, and obviously other hobbies you might have, you might not be finding so appealing. Mm. Might have excessive decision making issues, either because you're depressed or because you're stressed, and you've got a lot of anxiety going on as a result. Or it could be because there generally is too much choice, or it could be because games themselves also, though, are shifting in terms of what they focus on, and publishers especially, rather than necessarily developers, think are good. It's like going for online co-op more and more versus local.
That really annoys me, because they kind of announce like co-op or, you know, anything like that, and it's like, okay, good, that's good.
Yeah.
And then they turn around and say online only, like with Dead Space 3. I'm pretty sure that was kind of co-op, but it was online only, and it's like, so why is there not an option for on-console multiplayer? I mean, one of the things that I actually quite liked about Borderlands, for example, was the fact that you could have, you know, on the same console co-op.
Mm.
Yeah, and I think part of the problem with that is that, well, first of all, you when you're doing split-screen gaming.
So we lost you for a second course, there.
I was just saying that you have to dial detail back to, you know, to have split screen, and that's fine. Anyone who's played split screen is fine with that. They know it's a trade-off.
Hmm.
But I'll give my experience with, you know, split screen, you know, co-op, bought an Xbox, you know, with Halo, said to, you know, my wife, do you fancy giving this a go? And you go, nah, not really. How about co-op? Okay. Being 1, 2, and 3, and Reach, and what was that weird little one that they did?
Was it ODST or something?
Yes, ODST. I don't like tea anyway, so it fits. played them, you know, myself as well, but just to be able to, you know, play through the whole thing, you know, all these campaigns, split screen, was great, because it could mean that you know, you say, right, you go off that way, I'll go off here, I'll try and get their attention, and you cover me, you know, or vice versa, you know, all that kind of thing, and it was great. It, as a result, heavily invested into the, you know, the Halo games, because, you know, like Halo Anniversary, you know, came out, reboard that so we could play through it as well. And then they did Halo 4, which removed that.
Oh, God. Because Halo's not a series I've ever followed, so I wasn't aware of that.
Well, yeah, it's not something that they, you know, heavily seem to, you know, promote, but I know quite a few people who... there was a website a while back which was cooperative, something like that, and it would list all the games that had, you know, sofa co-op, or, you know, if they had co-op, it would list whether it was sofa, or whether you needed two machines but you could do it over LAN, or if you needed, you know, if it was online play only, you know, all that kind of thing, and that was fine, because we ended up getting 2 360s. So for, you know, the few games that only supported, you know, co-op over LAN, you know, over different machines, we could do that. So, you know, that worked out well. But no, you needed an Xbox Live account to be able to play co-op on Halo 4. And that even includes the little bundle missions that I did, you know, with a sort of, because it had a separate campaign that you could play co-op, but it had to be an online activated account with Xbox Live privileges, which meant 30 odd, you know, quid a year.
That's ridiculous. And
that was just you have killed the enjoyment of this. I still played through, you know, Halo 4, and it was it looked really nice, you know, handsome game, but just the, you know, oh, it's too difficult, you know, say the devs, it's like, bollocks, it's too difficult. You're a dev that happens to be owned by Microsoft, and now your co-op games are requiring an extra sale. And this is the bit that really annoyed me. It did support, you know, sofa gameplay, but your profiles had to be online enabled.
What?
Yeah.
That's... No.
That's... Mind you... not okay.
That's not okay at all. We managed to get a few, because they had a few, you know, free weekends where you could play on Xbox Live Silver. And, you know, we did that, but it was really hampered by the knowledge that you would have to, you know, you'd either have to complete the game that weekend or wait until they decided to do the next one. And now it's just, you know, and then, of course, you know, the X-Bone came out and I couldn't give a toss.
Well, I mean, we on this podcast, we've been not giving a toss about the X-Bone since the E3 that it was, you know...
unveiled?
Yeah.
All of a sudden it was, oh, it's not as good and it's more expensive. And it doesn't have backwards compatibility at the time, which, you know, they've subsequently retroactively shoehorned in and they, please... please come back, please. And it's maybe. My huge, you know, comfort things is I'll go back and replay it. The number of times I've played Half-Life 2. It's, you know, because it's. I think it must be akin to, you know, someone's favorite album or a favorite film. You know, where it just, everything is just so, if nothing else appeals, I can almost guarantee that if I load up, you know, a save from Half-Life 2 or, you know, from the very beginning, I'll probably end up playing it again. Ditto for the Bioshocks.
Yeah.
And there's a few older games on Commodore 64 and, yes, even some Nintendo games. And, you know, from old consoles, you know, of, you know, various different makers. There are games that I know when I'm in a slump and, you know, I've lost the gaming mojo. Now I know not to question it because it's not I'm going off gaming.
Hmm.
It's just there's nothing tickling me right now. And I incredibly lost my gaming mojo around when my nan died.
Mm-hmm.
But TXK came out on the PlayStation Vita between her death and you know, the funeral.
Mm.
And you know, I bought that and I, you know, I put hours and hours and hours into it because it was something where it's, you know, the gameplay mechanic. It's, you know, it's not the game world or anything like that, or the narrative, you know, anything like that. It had a good game mechanic. And that was a bit of a rescue for me, especially, you know, with my funk, because anything narrative wise or, you know, why don't you try, you know, this game? It's like, that's a hard no. I'm not in the mood for, you know, experiencing a game world. See, I just want some, you know.
I'm happy experiencing game worlds if they're ones I'm familiar with, like Skyrim or certain Final Fantasies or Resident Evil 4. But then I've gotten to the point also, though, where I've got my newer console set up, and I'd like the convenience of having certain games on those newer consoles. Like, I could
well,
really
seem
do...
seem to be porting virtually everything else to it.
If the Switch could get Resident Evil 4 with motion control, I'd be freaking set. It'd be like, I'd have Resident Evil 4 and Skyrim on the Switch, or I could switch over to... Well, mind you, I mean, you got a whole load of Final Fantasy apart from 8. Coming to Switch as well, so
yeah.
It's like, well, you know, meanwhile, like, on the PS4 I could play a bunch of stuff. So what, hey, wait, what is 8 out on at the moment? Is
the original PlayStation and PC.
I hate how people hate it. It's like, come on, show Squall some love. That's all he needs. He's poor little orphan.
Well, I mean,
everyone's been mean.
It's just kind of bizarre how they've kind of skipped that one.
My favourite one. It's like...
Yeah. I'm just going to say, yeah.
I mean, at this point, you know, virtually everybody in gaming over a certain age has played Final Fantasy VII if they were ever interested in, like, JRPGs.
Yeah.
So it's like, for most people, that's going to be a rebuy.
I think you would be depressed by the number of people who were not old enough to play it the first time around and they've not really had the opportunity to pick it up new since then.
I know, there's always been opportunities. Because, I mean, it was also on Vita. Oh.
You could play it on Vita?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, Final Fantasy
VIII
was on Vita.
You know, that's the, you know, the PS1 version. Which, you know, not everyone's going to be, you know, into, you know, playing that particular one.
Tekken, I'm happy with the graphics. And, like, you don't need super posh graphics for 8 because the story's batshit crazy. And the main thing it is a statistics whore of a game because of how the junction system works.
Yeah.
It's like all various other elements of, like, leveling and difficulty leveling of enemies. It's like, You don't play that game for the graphics. You play it for crazy ass story involving time travel, and weirdness, and messing around with
and marriage problems
and marriage problems and messing around with statistics in game, and dealing with shit like the card game and stuff as well. That's what you play it for. You don't play it for graphics. Never play it for graphics.
There will be a lot of people who were introduced to gaming with the Wii.
No, yeah.
And I'm not just saying that because it was, you know, a successful machine. which, you know, got a foothold in, you know, the wider, you know, it expanded the market, which is great. And I do like the Wii, but yeah, anyway, not enough of, you know, my kind of thing on it, but it was great for, you know, lots of weird things as well, which, you know, was also great. But we always tend to forget. You now will be reaching the stage that I have been at for years, because you'll be reaching the stage where you'll be, oh, that came out just a few years ago, and you'll be talking. And they'll say, oh, I didn't, you know, I didn't play that because I wasn't old enough at the time.
Still,
fair point.
Mind you, I still get that, not because I wasn't old enough for some certain things, but because I didn't start playing video games until I was in my teens.
You're a late bloomer.
Yeah.
There will not be my choice. People who will be missing context.
Yeah.
And all I'm saying is, join us. I'm not one of these snobby wankers with the, oh no, you needed, you know, if you didn't have an Atari 2600 when you were, you know, growing up, then you're clearly not a proper original gamer. It's like, no, everyone is welcome. If, you know, if we ask, if have you played this, then it's, you know, it's because we think you should. Go on, that's good. You might not have heard of it, but it's good. And it may, you're seeing right now, which is making you, if you've outgrown them.
Fair.
See, I managed to steer it back around onto topic. Be impressed. But there are a fair few games which will fill that gap for me, when, you know, it's just, you know, this constant barrage of this game is out this week, you know, that game is out next week, you know, etc. And you're looking at them and you're thinking, I haven't played the last two in that series.
Yeah.
I just got a bit exhausted of them. And what, you know, one like that, see, that's another thing as well. It's not necessarily, you know, you that's getting sick of the games. It's the same thing again and again.
Yeah, and also, though,
oranges.
Yeah, I mean, there's also, though, a lot of content, though, out now compared to when we were growing up.
Yeah,
like, is, you know, you got your streaming and stuff, and that. And the thing is that one of the things I find is that reading or watching something rather than gaming is taking more of my time. Reading, because there's stuff story wise I can get in reading that I can't get a lot of the time from games or film or TV. Or I'll watch something which I don't have to interact with, because it means I can do knitting. And unfortunately, gaming is, except for how I can set things up with the Switch and when I'm on my exercise bike, it is not a multitask thing. And actually doing gaming whilst exercising on a stationary exercise bike is only really possible when it's a game you're a bit unfamiliar with, because you are still having to concentrate on the act of exercising, so you need something familiar to play, which is why I'll do something like
Skyrim or Minecraft, or
rather than something new. Because I started playing, I played a bit of Octopath Traveler in the past week, but that's new, and I have not wanted to play that whilst exercising because it's just too new, too new, and I am not used to it.
You don't have that muscle memory.
No, I don't. Like, I'm still trying to figure out how to do things in it. So, yeah. And also, I've got, like, I'm saying Switch games at the moment. It's because Switch, the, if you've got that, oh, was it when you have the controllers on the, hooked up to the pad?
So game pad mode.
Yeah, game pad mode for the Switch. There is actually a convenient strap, like, area. So if you've got, like, another kind of strap, or if you've got, like, an old Wiimote strap, you can hook it through this loop area on the controller, and obviously hang it off your wrist, which is, you know, kind of helpful when you're obviously on an exercise bike and, you know, you might need to, you know, let go of the controller for a moment because of reasons, like to drink a water bottle or something. So, whereas, unfortunately, I can't do anything with PS4 games because the controllers don't have anywhere where I can put a strap.
I mean, you could tie, like, string on bit, but even then it's not
well,
as...
Well, no, and it's going to probably restrict things like the touchpad bit on like a PS4 controller and stuff.
Yeah, so. I've never quite understood why other console makers have not aped that.
It's probably a throwback from the fact that obviously the Wii used to have its Wiimotes flung into TVs and, you know, kind of into ceilings and stuff like that. So they kind of added the strap for that, and it's kind of carried on because they've just kind of had motion controls since.
Yeah, but the, you know, things like cameras and little handheld games that I, you know, I played about with for years, they've all had the little, you know, bit at the edge that you can put, you know, a strap around. So it just seems to me so obvious, especially when, and it's empty space right at the end.
Yeah.
So you could do something like that. It wouldn't cause an issue, and you know, it would just be a little bit more convenient. Because like you say, that, you know, you could be somewhere where there's no controller down because it's going to either fall off or it's going to, you know, like, you know, spilt drink or a dog's going to eat it, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Or also maybe you've got a condition where you aren't able to perhaps grip things
exactly
as easy
so
as you'd like.
It's an assistance,
yeah.
And I can't see a downside to it. So why aren't they doing it?
But Gaming Mojo.
Yes, I will give a, you know, recent example where I'm at the moment primarily a PC gamer because I don't have any of the, you know, the current machines.
Yeah.
Console wise. Well, I've got a 3DS, but which has a strap.
Yeah.
Because
it's convenient. Yes. And I, you know, I've been getting games on Humble Monthly, and you know, they've been, yeah. That's a really good example of games which, you know, I'll get for free. You know, I'll say for free. Of course, they're not for free. I am a subscriber. I pay, you know, X amount per month. But I can get, you know, a really good selection of games. Like I got the latest Deus Ex, which I haven't played because I know it's an investment. That's another thing as well that can put you off, isn't it?
Mm.
If you know something's going to be, oh, you know, this is going to be a few weeks, and you think, I don't really want to start it now.
Yeah, especially like if you know that you're going to be busy, like with work or whatnot, then you're like, I know that, you know, I kind of want to make sure that I've got the time to really kind of get into it and, you know.
Yeah, otherwise you're just going to be, you know, trying to remember how the hell to do things in it every single time you sit down.
Mm.
If you can only play it every other, you know, day or whatever.
Yeah, for like an hour at a time, but, or something.
Yeah. So, you know, there was a good month where it was Deus Ex 2 and Mafia 3.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And I sank a few hours into that, and it's a really good game, but it wasn't grabbing me as much as I anticipated. So, as a consequence, I've been able to, you know, dip in and out of that.
Okay.
But in amongst Humble, doing, you know, several, you know, online heavy months, like one of them was Destiny 2.
Okay.
Is it Destiny?
Yeah, it's Destiny. Well. Destiny has had a sequel, so...
Yes, yeah, it will be Destiny 2. Which I've not bothered installing because it requires the Blizzard installer. It's not even Steam. And it was... I was already sort of... if I don't want to...
If you don't want to play it...
Is there enough content there? And a few people saying yes, you know, yes, there's enough content. And I was umming and ahhing, and then it was the installer thing, and you get, no, sod that. Next month, it's Overwatch, which, by all accounts, great game. I know several people, you know, who swear by it, that it's, you know, it's great to play. I simply do not give a shit about it. You know, I saw that, and it was just like, ugh. So I already know I'm not going to be bothered about the, you know, the headliner for next month. But so, you know, in amongst me, not exactly, you know, being bowled over by, you know, again, it's not a bad game. I'm not saying it's a bad game. It's just, it's Mafia 3 is not grabbing me and not letting me go. But in amongst all that, the big update for No Man's Sky.
Oh yes.
Came along. And my wife's already, you know, been playing it for hundreds of hours. And one of the things was you can do co-op play.
Okay.
And she said, you know, go on. You know, why don't you get it? And then we can, you know, just doss about on different planets together, you know, if we want to. And then, you know, play separately. And I thought, okay. Now, you know, I've said about No Man's Sky before that it's a, you know, a pulp Elite, and Elite was, you know, another game that really put its claws into me. And yeah, this has been doing exactly that. It's got enough for me to, you know, explore, go to new solar systems, trade up, make things so I can make more money, buy new, you know, gear, hunt down in, you know, interesting new ships, you know, follow the narrative paths, which are great because they're in bite-size mission chunks. So I can do so much of that, and then I can just, you know, warp to a completely different star system and see if I can find any dinosaurs. Or burrow down and build an underground or underwater base.
Cool.
But that's good.
The right shade of pink. You know, all those kinds of things. It can. So I've sank about 150 hours into that since it was, you know, the next update was released. So that's something which is, you know, it's been a, yes, that tickles my fancy right now. That, you know, that's a good mojo cure. Meanwhile, I've got big games which are, you know, incredibly well reviewed, sitting on my hard drive because I have downloaded them, they're ready to launch, and I've not put a single minute into them. Because they just don't appeal right now.
Yeah.
And if I didn't have games which, you know, I knew I could either go back to, like, you know, the BioShocks, Half-Life 2, you know, some of the, you know, the classic games, then, you know, if I didn't have those, and it, you know, if I went into a game shop and looked at the shelves, I would be left thinking, is it just not for me anymore?
Mm.
And I think we've all had that kind of feeling when, you know, we've been looking at release schedules and thinking, ugh.
I think to a certain extent, it also kind of shows what you kind of value in games, the type of games that do actually hook you in. Like for me, obviously there's certain for like Mario games and Legend of Zelda and stuff like Hyrule Warriors. That was actually surprisingly addictive for me because I think to a certain extent I actually value the kind of unlocking and completionist aspects of games. I can't remember whether when I played Arkham City, I think I probably actually did all of the riddles.
Yes, I know I did. For Arkham City, it took fucking
forever. I don't know if I could be arsed with the riddles. I did, you know, as many of the missions as I could find. But when it came to the riddles, it's just.
It's Arkham Knight's the third one, isn't it?
No. I was saying.
Yeah. I'm just trying to get stuff right in my head because Arkham Knight's the one that I haven't completed.
Wait,
so it's Arkham Asylum, Arkham
City. Then there's also Arkham Origins, which is technically the third one, but
it's kind of 2.5. It's all right. It's all right.
The main
Arkham games are examples of games that, you know, grabbed me.
But like I remember like Tekken 2 on the PlayStation, and that was a weird one because you get like the extra characters by completing the game with, you know, kind of each of the original characters.
Yeah.
And I remember quite enjoying that more than the third one, simply for that fact.
Mm.
You know, I kind of like unlocking stuff.
Soul Calibur on Dreamcast. For that reason, because it had a whole different mode where you could unlock things, and it would say, oh, you know, you have to defeat this character with that character with these conditions.
Hmm.
And those are excellent ways to, you know, get you to use a different character and then to, you know, it's a bit like I've said before about you know, well thought out achievements or trophies.
Hmm.
Where they will help you. It's not just a do this arbitrary thing and then you get a shiny non-existent JPEG. You know, do this and then it'll be, oh right, you know, now I've got that, some other things fall into place.
Yeah. Okay, I think we need to wrap up this line of discussion. So I think losing your gaming mojo, what we're saying is that it's normal.
Yeah.
Even if you, especially obviously if you've been an avid gamer for quite some time and stuff, and in fact maybe go through periods of being interested and not, perfectly normal, especially if you've got stuff going on in your life. But there's also the just periods of game releases anyway, that it's like, and if you actually do feel the urge to game and you're thinking, oh god, but I've got all these new things, it's like, no, don't feel guilty about playing the ones that bring you comfort and joy.
Absolutely.
The game police are not going to be knocking your door down.
Just because you haven't touched your pile of shame.
Yeah.
See, I remember when I was a kid, and that used to be kind of a thing when, like, my parents would kind of almost like refuse to get me a new game because I hadn't kind of completed the, or, you know, kind of.
Mm.
And I remember, because that was like the NES when that kind of period of my life was. And yeah, there's obviously some games that, you know, aren't necessarily to be completed. So I kind of felt always like a little bit cheated, like, you know, I could get away with not completing that one, but I've completed that one, and I've completed that one, and I've completed that one, and I've completed that one.
Mm.
And yeah, it's because this sense of I have to complete it before I move on to the next one.
Yeah. But
yeah, they're not books.
No.
Okay.
That's the important thing.
Okay. Starting with Retroid, one thing you've been up to in the past week.
One. BoJack Horseman.
So which season are they on now?
Is it season 4? Fifth.
Oh, yeah, we're 2 seasons behind.
Yeah.
So.
But did you know that back in the 90s, he was on a very famous TV show?
I had heard.
Obviously, without spoiling anything, especially if your season's behind, for God's sake, catch up. It's there on Netflix. What's wrong with you? No pressure.
Maybe that's tomorrow night.
We've lost well, that no, Netflix wait. Mojo.
Yeah, we've lost that for so cheap. But
oh, no.
I can explain some of that in a minute, but no, talk about BoJack.
Yeah. Very good season. It builds on some things which happened in the previous one, introduces some more, and there is an episode where it's pretty much the entire episode is a monologue by BoJack.
Wow.
In one location.
Wow.
And it did not seem like 26 minutes.
I know, I haven't seen any specifics, but I know that a lot of people have been praising this season.
Yeah, so. I mean, I really like BoJack anyway, because we were late to it again, because I thought, I'm not sure about this. And then we just binged it. So, you know, first, you know, 4 or 5 seasons, we just, a few episodes a night.
Mm.
And, you know, if something else, you know, came out, maybe an episode of that, and then an episode of BoJack.
Okay.
But yeah, excellent series. And I'll just say Todd's new boss.
Okay, I'm worried now. Paul, what have you?
And there was Iron Fist as well.
No. Paul, what have you been up to?
But that was less excellent.
Well, I've been I don't feel like I've been up to much, to be honest.
You tried out Thingy. You signed up for Thingy on the Switch and tried it out.
Oh, what, the Nintendo
Live?
Online.
Online, yeah.
Nintendo Thingy.
Yeah. I think that's going to be one that's going to get better.
No, you hope it gets better.
Yeah.
That is so qualified. That is so incredibly qualified and guarded.
Well, I mean, because I haven't actually played any of the games online because I don't have Splatoon 2 or anything like that. I've got Mario Kart, but you know, it's yeah. I've got Mario Kart.
So hang on, are you saying that Nintendo doing the internet is somehow a bit crap?
Also, okay. What about the whole app thing?
What do you mean the voice app? Yeah. Well, I haven't been able to test that out because I don't like have many friends online. And one of the problems with this is that I downloaded the whole NES kind of, you know, so that I could like play online and you could play cooperatively online. And I was like, okay, that sounds like a pretty cool idea. Let's go find some games. Hold on a minute. You can only play online with people already on your friends list.
For games that existed previously without the need for massive amounts of communication anyway.
Yeah. So that basically means that I can't just kind of jump online into a game with a stranger, make friends, and then add them to my friends list. I have to already be friends with them.
I think that's them covering their asses about not having inappropriate stuff happening with people.
But by the same time, it's like, how are you meant to build a community?
You can't. I would have thought.
You build a community with other people who have been locked in the Nintendo basement.
I mean, I remember
now like their captor. That's how you build a community.
But I remember being part of like a Wii forum like many years ago.
I
kind of developed friendships and whatnot, and that was all right, and I kind of added people and whatnot, got to know people a bit. But I don't really necessarily feel like having to go to kind of a place on the internet to meet brand new people in order to be able to play online with people, as it were.
There's all kinds of dodgy. Do you want to see my Nintendogs?
But I mean,
but I'm not going to because I'm too nice.
But it's one of those things that I really really hope that it gets. I mean, when Smash Bros. Comes out, then obviously that'll be a massive improvement. Because that'll be actually another game that I can actually play online. And hopefully they actually allow you to play with people you don't already know.
Well, you did do in the past.
Fucking ridiculous.
They did do in the past, obviously.
Yeah, true.
See, I could understand that as an option. I could understand that as the default, because, as we've discussed previously, parents are idiots. And they don't bother checking, and, little Bobby is playing online. And so it makes sense to have the most stringent setting as the default on a machine that may just be, passed on.
Yeah.
Go on, shut up, play that. But, it's just... So, if you want to play any game online on the Switch, with someone, you can't just randomly match.
Technically...
You have to...
I think it might just be that NES software... at the moment, because obviously you can kind of do it with Mario Kart. You can play online with random people online on Mario Kart, presumably befriend them.
Yeah.
Hopefully that's not an insanely stupid process, what's your friend code? Or anything like that.
Just rolls off the tongue. XQ71545 alpha, Greek letter for Y.
Has everybody gonna ask me what I've been up to?
Oh,
what have you been up to, Emily?
Okay then. Finished.
Yeah.
Cool. Although, hang on. I will just interrupt there, and I'll say I'll ask this because I don't know whether it's still the case, but it's definitely something I hope gets fixed. The NES games that are available on Switch do not automatically save state.
I don't think they automatically do, but you can save them into, I think, 5 slots per game.
Yeah, you can, but if you dismiss the game or if you quit out, it won't be where you left it, which apparently it did on Wii U. And it did on Wii as well, thinking there, and with the virtual console games.
I haven't actually tried that, so... Yeah, I mean, is that what you've heard, that it doesn't?
I have seen a video of it. They were demonstrating with Super Mario 3.
Okay.
I think. And where they played for so long into the level, and then they just quit out and then selected the game immediately, right away, and it was back at the title screen. Because I think that's going to catch people out.
Yeah.
Press the wrong button and then, your game resets. Nintendo, yeah, that'll be really...
Yeah. They want every... there are parts of the whole application way of, looking at, systems, which... appliance, that's the word I was looking for. Simple, like that. So, if you put a game down halfway through, you can pick it up later, even if you've switched off. It's like, come on.
They do it for Switch games, pretty much. Yeah. If you put it in a sort of sleep mode, the console. But
for interrupting that.
Can I tell you guys what I've been up to?
Yes, Emily, what have you been up to?
I have been watching the NHL preseason. Sorry, it's a sports thing. NHL preseason started, so there's been like a million Boston Bruin games this past, so since Saturday.
And by a million, you mean four?
More like five, maybe? 4 or 5 at this point, but...
That sounds like it would feel like a million.
Yeah. Well, considering that they last for anything from like about 2 hours, 40 odd to like 3 hours, something, depending on what the hell happens. And I don't mind watching them and knitting stuff. And actually, what's made this season so far really great is that whoever the app devs are for NHL's, like, NHL app, certainly on Android, there were, like, a few niggling issues with doing playback via the app. Whether or not you watched it on the app or if you Chromecasted it, there were issues for like doing sort of searching along the time of archived games. Like obviously, like if you're watching live, you don't expect to be able to skip around and shit. But if you watch an archive stuff, if like you don't want to deal with the 20 or so minutes of intermission between the 3 periods, you might want to skip ahead to when the game picks up again. And in certainly during the previous seasons, before these updates happened to the app, it was, or even on the web, well, no, the website wasn't so bad, but certainly on the app, it was just like, what the hell? It just wouldn't work. And they've updated the app a bit, and actually it's now a lot easier to just jump around the timeline. And also, there were issues with like the playback, like Netflix you get when you're watching via a phone, and it you get that kind of persistent kind of system tray. Kind of thing on your phone. Well, the NHL app would have that during playback, but before these like this really big update happened to the app in the last couple of weeks, that is obviously now working with the preseason games, that would disappear quite a lot, and then you'd have to mess around with the Google Home app and stuff in order to get playback going and shit again. But then you couldn't rely on the NHL app to help you navigate time and stuff within things. And actually, sometimes if you tried to navigate the timeline for a game, it would just reset the playback all the way back to the beginning. It was a fucking pain in the ass. And basically, you could
Why would you do that?
I don't know. And it was like, obviously, I only put it up with it for like the summer, basically, whilst I was catching up with the previous season. It's like, because basically, if you buy a pass for their footage, like during the off season, you get it stupid cheap because they can't obviously charge like a full season's worth of subscription. But it was ridiculous. It was just like, huh. It was easier to watch on PC than anything else because at least on if you watch it via their website, they like tag up the timeline so for archive stuff, so you can there's like marks on the timeline for like goals for when the periods happen and stuff, so you can kind of navigate around to at least where there's gameplay. But with the app, there's none of that tagging, but then you had this issue where trying to move forward or backwards in the timeline regardless would lead to potentially the whole game resetting, which was on which all I know is how it was on Android. I don't know if this is the same situation on iOS. There was a fucking pain in the ass. And now that seems to not be the issue this season, so far, in the preseason.
That kind of reminds
you of what?
Playing on the 360, you know, you could put music on the background.
Mm.
I'd be playing something like Oblivion, which, you know, another game I've sank hundreds of hours into.
Yeah.
And I'd put on podcasts and listen to them, you know, just instead of the game music.
Yeah.
And that would work really well. But there was no way to navigate within, you know, audio files. So if the game locked or anything like that, there was no way to, you know, if you'd already listened to, say, that, you know, the first hour and a half of a 2-hour podcast, there was no way to navigate.
Yeah.
Through it, and it would just be
So when I was like watching stuff, right, watching, catching up on the previous season, which I watched most of the Bruins games of, like I basically got to sort of like about February, but I knew how their season turned out, so once I kind of got a feel for what the team was like, I wasn't too worried about watching the rest. But it was like, okay, so basically I can't touch the app. Once I've got it playing, like I just, yeah, and in fact, maybe do something with my phone might be slightly dubious as well. You just had to leave the game playing or in the background for like 2.5 to like 3.5 hours, depending on what the hell was going on. Rather than just get it down to about, well, because the periods go on for longer than the 20 minutes. Like, obviously, the players are only playing for 20 minutes in theory, but obviously, there's like stoppages and play and stuff, depending on what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
And so a period's probably more like double that in time. So you got three lots of 40 minutes. You know.
Homer gives up beer.
Mm.
Do you know the bit I'm talking about where he goes to a football game?
Yeah, and it's not as fun.
Yeah, and now one of them has fallen down, and now the other players are coming out to check if he's okay. Oh, he stood up.
Though at least there's...
I had no idea that this game was so boring.
At least the NHL has got fighting, you know. Though at the same time, a guy's just been suspended for the rest of the preseason. He's like a, I think he's Canadiens, Montreal Canadiens player, I think, because he kind of kept whammying on a guy yesterday after he'd already drawn blood.
So that's the line in
NHL. Yeah, it was like... Oh, mind you, another guy got suspended, another player, I think for Dallas? Somebody who wasn't in the Atlantic Division has been suspended for something like 23 games because of domestic abuse.
Oh.
But it's been disputed because the NHL doesn't actually have an official thing and like it's like a sort of charter or whatever about like player conduct around domestic abuse, whereas I think NFL, maybe Major League Baseball do. So that's a point of contention. But yeah, so that's your hockey update. That's your hockey update. The app is working this season. I am grateful for this. But also, it was quite funny watching the first preseason game on Saturday, which was the Calgary Flames versus the Boston Bruins. But they were playing in China, because they're doing like a sort of like almost like a demo type thing out in China at the moment to try and see if there's interest to push China to try and get like ice hockey into the 2022 Winter Olympics. Because they would normally go for it, and they're not necessarily a big hockey nation, obviously, because it's in China. But that game started at like 7:30 in the morning, and there were loads of Americans complaining about the fact, because obviously that would be like middle of the early hours of the morning for most of them, or if you're lucky and you're like Pacific time, like maybe sort of like 10:30 at night. So it was like, oh, this is terrible. And it's like, and this is what it's like if you try to figure out if you're in Europe and you should watch an NHL game live most of the time.
So welcome to time zones.
Yeah, and it's like, no, you probably won't watch it live if you have work the following day. So, but yeah. So NHL app's working, which is great because I pay a lot of money for the privilege of using that freaking thing to watch ice hockey. But still not as much as a Sky Sports subscription where I'd get a whole load of stuff that I wouldn't want and actually no hockey because they don't have the rights for NHL in the UK. And the company that does wouldn't be always play, would probably rarely play the matches of the team that I follow. So,
bloody hell.
Win-win. Or they'll like not show hockey for the sake of other sporting events. So even if you subscribe purely to them for NHL, you could still get screwed over anyway. And
I mean, because there's not enough bandwidth or sports channels around.
Yeah. Like, it'll usually be something like certain types of rugby or like touring cars or something is likely to like stop stuff being shown. So it's just like, that's great. Similar sort of price to the American service, but American service for NHL, well, you've got everything. And some stuff does get blacked out depending on your territory because it depends on whether or not the UK channel is showing shit. If they're showing a particular game that week, but Dave Internet has ways and means around this where you still get to legally, in a way, use your service. It's just you might not be in the UK, as it were, at the time of using it.
Yeah, you're pretty much just wearing a Stars and Stripes hat.
Yeah. Or I've got
a maple leaf hat.
Yeah. Do that too.
I'm definitely Canadian, eh?
Mm, mm. I mean, it's ice hockey, of course. You know. Of course, freaking Canadian, you know. Temporarily, just because, you know, if that broadcaster had been any bloody good, I would have signed up to them for the sake of watching hockey, but they cannot be trusted to show anything you want to watch. And also, I get the feeling they might only be showing the what are called the free games. So once the season starts, I think about maybe one game a week is free on the NHL TV service.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, I'm boring everyone with the ins and outs of subscription sports, so...
I'm sure none of our fans could give a puck.
Oh my god. Terrible. It's terrible. Well,
good.
That is all we've got time for this week. So it is good night from...
It's good night from me, Paul Wood. I'm Retroid on Eurogamer.net and Super Retroid on Twitter.
It's good night from me, Paul Blewett, and on Twitter as @PaulBlewett.
It's good night from me, Emily King. I'm on Twitter at EMKingMA. You can find NerdAssemble on Twitter at NerdsPodcast. And you can find notes for this episode over at nerdassemble.co.uk. And we're also on Facebook as NerdAssemble Podcast. Actually, we're also on Instagram as Nerds Podcast. Episodes are also available on Stitcher and iTunes. Don't know what we'll talk about next week, but hopefully... Well, actually, we haven't to pause for next week. We might have to pause for next week due to stuff. But...